Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. There's a little saying that we teach to the kids to help them toughen up in the playground. Yet we know it's wrong, don't we? As broken bones take about 6 to 8 weeks to heal, yet words can have lasting scars. Words can hurt for a lifetime. We're continuing our series in James, and James is talking about living out the Christian life, and this morning he's talking to us about our mouths, our tongues. Very fittingly, have a look where he starts. He starts with the teachers. Why the teachers? Because the teachers have a position of influence with their mouths. Verses 1 and 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Notice the we there. James is very conscious as he's teaching others that this applies to himself. He's in the same boat. That teachers will be judged more strictly. That is, that teachers are in great danger of judgment. Verse 2 gives the reason why. In many of our Bibles, in the NIV, it's omitted the little word for, which shows the link. It's there in the original. Let's see the reason for. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. See the danger for the teachers? Those who have great influence with their mouths, they speak, people listen and follow. James is saying, with this position comes great responsibility. Teachers. It's very easy to sit there and think, oh, yep, they're just the teachers up the front, but who are the teachers, the leaders? Our Sunday school teachers, those who teach holiday club, vestry members, Bible study leaders, and also as parents, as Christians, we are teachers. As parents, we're in a trusted position. We have great influence with our mouths and responsibility. And will be held accountable. A while ago, there was a great ad on TV. I think it was for Telecom. It's about this father driving in an old car with his young son sitting next door. And the son has to ask the dad a question. Why did they build the Great Wall of China? And you can see the father. His eyes are sort of rolling in his head. Son, to keep out the rabbits. He had no idea. He was bluffing. And it's kind of funny when a kid asks a question about geography. But what happens if a child asks you a question like, how do you know Jesus is God? How do you know that God loves you? Do you know what to say? Are you going to fudge it? Ask your mum? See, as parents, God has placed you in a position as a teacher with great influence. And what we say matters. Not just the content either. See, what we say may be right and true, but also with our words we curse others. We say hurtful things. We crush. Slander, backstab, gossip, which undermines our teaching. As teachers, included as parents, our mouths have huge influence for good. but also for evil. Have you ever thought about how powerful that little muscle in your mouth is? That's what James goes on to tell us in verses 3 to 8. How powerful is the tongue? I just want to say how quickly and how easily we underplay our words. I didn't really mean it like that. I just said it in the heat of the moment. I was joking. I said it just to get a reaction. We underplay our words, but James teaches us that the tongue is very small, but is very powerful. Small but powerful. He starts off with three similes. Verse 3 says it's like that little bit in a horse's mouth. Let me read. When we put the bit into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. The bit is tiny, but it's powerful. Secondly, verse 4, like a little rudder on a great ship. He says, well, take the ships as an example. Although they're so large and driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. The tongue is just like that, small but powerful. Thirdly, verse 5, like a little spark in a grass fire. Huge fire starts with just a spark. Bushfires are terrifying things. About 10 or so years ago, there was a huge fire down the south of Sydney. Kylie's parents live on the furthest suburb south of Sydney. They are living down there, and across the news, this huge bushfire was coming. So, of course, what do? Phone up Kylie's parents. How are you going? How close is the fire? No problems. It's a long way away. We're not in danger. No worries. It's at least 3 or 4 ridges over. No problems. We had a cup of tea or something like that, and then went back to the news as the headlines were flashing up. Then we saw this family, a young family, a father grabbing a child and running out of this house as you could see the smoke and flames coming. We recognised them, Kylie's neighbours, parents' neighbours, as the fire was coming up and licking the back fence. Terrifier, a huge destruction started by just a spark. The tongue is very small, yet very powerful, and can be very destructive. James says, what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Did you hear what they were saying? A little rumour. That wouldn't surprise me. She always acts like that. Just those words of slander. Don't even have to mention Facebook. Just a quick little remark on the wall. A word that is not controlled or thought about can create a path of destruction. Have a look at verses 6 and 7. As James continues this theme of destruction, he moves from simile to metaphor. He says the tongue is a fire. Verse 6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by men. But no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. See how it describes that little muscle in our mouths? That causes so much destruction. It's a fire, a world of evil. a fire that corrupts the whole person and whole life. It is fire from hell, a restless evil. Deadly poison drips from our lips. In January, I brought some broadleaf lawn killer. Just want to apologise for any gardeners out there. You're probably switched off thinking, what are you doing? January, a couple of months too late. Just forget about those minor details. I bought some broadleaf killer for the lawn. I think it was about 1 part in 20. Opened it up. Looked just like water. Pretty harmless stuff. Hardly smelt. Mixed it in a few drops into the pump. Walked around the yard. Towards the end, it was starting to run out. So it was a bit sort of willy-nilly. Ah, a bit over here, a bit over there. A few little harmless figure eights. Wherever the poison touched, about 3 weeks later, the grass was burnt. Destruction. Off our lips drips poison. We need to know the power and danger of this weapon that we have in our mouths. That's James's point. Did you notice verse 7? Animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea, they can be tamed. But verse 8 is very scary for Christians. No man can tame the tongue. No one can tame the tongue. Just a little aside. If you're an unbeliever this morning and you've come along to church, listened in, my guess is that you're sitting there at the moment listening and you recognise how true God's word is. Yeah, you might have been on the receiving end of the damage caused by the tongue, an abusive family member, and those words hurt. You could be on the receiving end of the rumour mill at work, or a particular bully. Or it might be the first, that this morning is the first time that you've ever thought of the damage that you have caused by your words, those slanderous remarks. Or you've seen how your words have shaped your kids, and you don't like what you see. If this is you, that you're hurt, or you're conscious of the hurt that you've caused, and you want forgiveness, where do you turn? Verse 8 says that no man can tame the tongue, which is true for all of us here, but there was one. Jesus, the Son of God, did not stumble. He was the obedient man. He kept his tongue in check and he did not sin. In 1 Peter we read that no deceit was found on his lips. If this is you, I want to encourage you to look to this one who willingly suffered on the cross for what we deserve, for the hurt that we have caused. He paid the price. Raising to new life, Jesus offers real forgiveness to all who turn to him, no matter how bad you think you are. I say this because I've got a friend who in the younger years was caught up bullying someone. And for him and his group of mates, it was kind of a sport each day. They didn't think too much of it as they spent their efforts bullying this kid. As this kid took his own life, he was confronted with how powerful and how damaging and how wrong those actions were and felt horrible. Jesus offers real forgiveness from the hurt that we have done. real forgiveness, no matter how bad you think you are. Come back with me to the passage, because James is speaking to Christians, and this is the confronting thing. He's speaking to brothers, and he wants Christians, those who are saved, to know the power of the tongue. It's small, but so powerful. And even for Christians can be so destructive, deadly poison. It's untamable. And this leaves a huge problem for Christians. Have a look from verse 9. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. What a contradiction. Out of the same mouths comes good and evil. And throughout James's letter, he gives scatterings of illustrations. In chapter 1, he talks about out of our lips, we should ask God, we should seek God and ask Him for wisdom. What a wonderful thing to come out of the lips of Christians. Yet in the same chapter, he also talks about how in anger we don't listen and we say things that we regret. Chapter 3, he talks about the good, praising God, our Father. That as Christians, we've got that wonderful privilege of thanking Him, that we now belong to His family, that we know His Son, that we are doing His work, that we are enjoying His world. It's a wonderful privilege for Christians to praise the Lord, yet also evil flows out. As with our lips we judge others, we show favoritism, we suck up to the wealthy, we treat the poor like dogs. You sit at my feet. Such a contradiction. Chapter 5 talks about singing songs of praise, the good that can come, yet with our mouths we also quarrel and fight. In chapter 4. Chapter 5 speaks about praying in earnest. Yet James also talks about in chapter 4, we slander, we boast, we grumble. If James observed your Christian life, what contradictions would he bring out? Oh, he read the Bible to the kids. Then a few minutes later, had a cup of tea with his wife and gossiped. James says, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. So stop it. No, that's not what he says. Look where he goes, verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. See where he goes? He asks a deep question, and that is, what is the source like? He makes an observation. The contradiction of the mouth points to a greater contradiction that is traced back to our core, the source of who we are. It's a huge problem. We need to fix the source. What is going to change us on the inside? Well, next week we're going to look at the answer. As James talks about the need to have this wisdom from above, that's your challenge this week, to keep reading James chapter 3. But I pause here this week for a reason. Because James wants us to know how powerful this muscle is in our mouths. How much danger can come from the lips of Christians. We need to be confronted by that. So we know the need to seek God's wisdom. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, you know we all stumble. And we're being confronted this morning on how we use our mouths. Father, as your people, we can use our mouths for good, but we can also so quickly sin. Father, we do thank you so much that through the blood of Jesus we have been washed clean, and that before you we are righteous through your grace. Yet you know, Lord, that even as Christians, the poison is still there in our mouths. Father, wash us clean and continue to wash us clean. Father, you teach us that the tongue cannot be tamed, that we all stumble in many ways. Father, you know our failings, and we confess our sins to you. Our sins of speech. Father, change us by your Spirit. Wash us and cleanse us. So that by your Spirit, you may help us to keep a tight rein on our tongues. And so honour you with our lives. Amen.